Welcome to episode 6
Marketing Kit
of the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. Today we look ahead to the Anzac round of footy, as well as getting serious about tackling the bye rounds. Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm Roy, I coach Destroy, and I'm here with Warnie,
coach of the Warn Dogs,
and Calvin,
coach of the Carbonator.
Boys, we got through the Easter weekend of footy. It was a great weekend of footy.
For some, it was.
How did you go?
Yeah, very average. Very, very average. I had a 21-43.
That's all right.
Yeah, I wasn't really. The worst thing was what could have been. A lot of mistakes I made, which will come up in our plus three, negative three. But things like my trades, I thought they were all right. If you know when you do that Captain Hindsight thinking, oh, I was tossing up between him
and the other one every week.
Yeah, no, I screwed up a fair bit there, but it could have been a lot bigger. But it was a pretty high scoring round for a lot of coaches.
Yeah, it was.
I think, well, Calvin, you didn't quite get to the 2200 figure, which I think was par.
Yeah, I think I was slightly under par. So 2174 is what I got, but it sort of started on that Thursday, Friday, when the all those that sort of carnage started to hit. So I had to ride the Tom Mitchell on the pine. So I've got a bit of money there where I can do some pretty swift moves this week. But sitting on top of the tree and walked in with a fair bit of swagger, I might say.
Richie Beto.
Well, all week we were hashtag united at Destroy, and we said we've had a horrible few weeks, but we need to, you know, we need to lift our game. It was nothing to write home about. And like Warndog, I actually made a couple of mistakes as well. But I got 22-22, which was
chew
for 222. And it was a big improvement of what I've been doing. So, yeah, the boys might be in for a special treat this week.
All right, kicking off our plus three and negative threes. I'm going to start us. I'm going to say my plus three is Matty Jetch.
Now,
he has been bloody awesome. He had 127 on the weekend, which was a huge score. They played GWS, so probably a little bit expected. But what he's doing to those plus sixes, like this episode is about, episode six, the plus sixes, the mark kicks all around the place. He's Hibbo-like.
No, that's disrespectful. He's better than Hibbo. He's far better than Hibbo.
No, I see
Hibbo doing that.
He's been one of my good picks of these last few weeks.
Yeah, he's been great.
He's been good. So, and realistically, he is an upgrade target if you're looking for someone in the back.
He'll be one of the best at the end of the year.
I think he will be. Who have you got there, Calvin?
Some people may say I got lucky.
Oh, you did.
Okay, for Solo, 110.
Oh, wow. He got his career high possession.
How good did he look, though?
How good a coach are you to know that he was going to get his career high possession?
Well, it was either him. A lot of people were tossing up between him and that Richmond
Sam Lloyd. I did, and I thought it was probably a better option, mainly for the cash, because I think you saved a fair bit there, didn't you?
Yeah,
How much did you spend? You saved a lot.
Yeah, you're money hungry.
Yeah. Let me do other things, but he's 70. There was no problem with that. But 100, what was that?
And I looked at Lloyd, I looked at Fasolo, and I thought, Fasolo's due for 110.
Due for his career best.
So I got on him. How about you, Roy?
Well, once again, clear leader of my best and fairest. I'm giving another plus three to McRae.
How good is he, McRae?
Yeah, he's in the top 10 now for scorers, and he's over 500k.
And he's always one of the best players for the Bulldogs.
He's amazing.
Every week he's up the top of, towards the top of the table. Yep. He's bloody awesome.
Someone tweeted me halfway through the second quarter, and they said, "Oh no, I've jinxed McRae." And I said, "Don't panic.
Don't panic, brother.
No, it's McRae."
All right, negative threes. I'm going to kick mine off, and this is a bloody tale of woe. My team is a rabble, and it's not just my team.
Can I just say, can you get yourself comfortable, go and get a cup of coffee or something? We could be here a while. Take it away, Warndog.
I'll try to do it quickly. All right. Now, be smart with this. You've got to be smart. There's a lesson, there's a moral to the story here at the end of this bloody story.
Marathon.
Anyway, all right. My negative two, three, what? I'm getting nervous about it.
Put the kettle on, Roy!
Because Xavier Ellis, it's hard to give someone who gets injured the negative three, but it all comes around mostly because he was on my ground. Now,
what?
Why would you do that?
Okay, here's the lesson out of it. Because sitting on the pine next to him was Jared Polek, who
had
110.
That's 2 weeks in a row you've done that. Why will you never learn?
No, I had learned. This is the thing.
Oh, no.
This is the problem. All right, so a tip for everyone. Cross your I's and dot your T's every single week, or the other way around, I think. But every single week, you need to do that, because I hit the rollback your team, So that button, so you've got the reverse trades button and the roll back your team, which takes it back to what it was. I needed to use that because I had some dual position action going on.
Yep.
Before lockout, make sure everyone's in place. Mm-hmm. That's something that I didn't do quite well. I didn't dot that T or cross that I, so it bloody happened.
Still getting that wrong.
So what ended up happening? So basically, I had Ellis on the ground, 2 points. I thought, because I was devastated when I saw that it was the case before the game started. I thought, and then I sent Roy a message. I said, there might be 20 points between them or something like that. I said, I'll take that.
Yeah, and I was like, don't worry about it, man. X-Man at home, he might actually beat Polak.
Wrong. So 108 points difference. Could have made me actually have a much better round.
108 difference.
I would have scored a lot higher than you blokes too, so that would have been nice. But yeah, so that was, yeah. So really, the negative three doesn't go to X Ellis, although his brittle body does. It goes to me. So that's my negative three. Did you finish your coffee?
Oh, Jesus Christ, wake me up. Speaking of learning from one's mistakes of the past, how many times can I give Scott Serwood a negative three without actually following through and doing something about it?
He can thank injuries to his teammates because he needs to go.
He's probably doing that at training.
What is wrong with him?
Yeah. Oh. It's not good. He's
unlucky.
Pathetic.
He averaged 108 last year.
I know.
You thought he was going to be a safe pick.
I thought he was a safe pick to at least average around that again.
He increases his average by 10 every year.
He's decreased it this week by 50.
I know. He's unbelievable.
So, yeah, so I'll tell you what, though. Gone. I've had enough.
Even if he's got injuries this week?
Yep. Gone.
If you get
I'll take a donut.
Yeah, let's do it.
Take a donut.
Send a message.
See you later.
Watch him bust out 120 this week.
Oh, he will.
Well, this is my negative three this week is quite interesting because I was happy with how he was going. But next minute, he's in the red vest. Now, Dom Tyson has to get my negative three.
You're a tough coach.
For continuing my average of one vest a week. I reckon I had two vests last year. Yep. One a week continues this year. Thanks to Dom Tyson, who was travelling all right. But sorry, mate, if you're going to do something to deserve the red, you can go.
Your gripe isn't with Dom Tyson.
Yes, it is. He got vested for 40-something.
It is with his coach, Paul Ruse. Can I quote this to you?
Yes, I haven't seen this.
Ruse admitted the tactical decision to substitute midfielder Dom Tyson was a mistake and that he would have kept the ball winner on if he had his time again.
Oh, you think? Oh, my God, that's the thing. I knew he had a really good second quarter. He was a bit slow starting, but he was getting clearances. Oh, good one, Rosie. You get the negative three.
That's terrible.
I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry, Dom.
All right, now, it has been a big round for some players, though. We did see the highest score of the round was Ben McGlynn. He racked up 153
Ben McGlynn?
Yeah. Now, he's a forward this year.
Yep.
Oh, is he a sneaky option at some stage?
No.
Couldn't do it.
All right. Well, who is not just a sneaky option, but someone I think that we should be really thinking about picking up either now or that first upgrade from his buy because he's got a round eight buy is Patrick Dangerfield.
Oh, yes.
5 goals. Yes, that's not going to happen every week, but 149 points. And yes, they're not going to play GWS every week.
What is his problem with GWS?
I don't know.
Why does he bully them so much?
Yeah,
that's twice in a row, isn't it? They're, he was always going to play well. A lot of people didn't pick him up this week purely based on the buy rounds.
Yes.
Hard to watch, though. Hard to watch him dominate like that, even if it did set your buys up. But yeah, he was awesome. He would have got plus threes for people all over the place.
Yeah, now we're going to talk about some buy round stuff later on in the podcast, but Dane Swan, another one.
Look, if Calvin, he's a guy not worth picking up, he's a guy worth pigging up.
Oh, wow.
See what I did?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Right, he had 145, I think, and he is back.
He looked pig.
He's dead set back. And look, I'll tell you what.
Watching
this week,
that game, he loved just getting the pill.
Yeah. Didn't he?
Again.
What about at the end, sneaky little plus six here and there?
Now, a couple of things about Swanee this week for the people who probably will jump on him. Obviously, Anzac Day loves it. Last two Anzac days, 120, 171. Averaging 153 on Essendon in his last five. And last week against Essendon, Montagna had 135.
Ooh.
Lenny Hayes, 117.
Far out.
This is the week, my friends.
You don't see a pig this cheap very often.
It's a cheap pig.
He probably hasn't been this cheap since he was a rookie.
No, look, he's an absolute... He's back. He has to be back.
And the worst thing is... as you said, we'll go on with it a bit of buy talk later. But if we wait till that buy, he'll pump out a couple of big scores.
He'll be back to his starting price. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He definitely will.
Very interesting. Who else went well, Warren?
Oh, well, Steve Johnson, Calvin. That is probably one of your things that you've done right this year.
Yeah, it's extremely hard picking the highest averaging player from last year. But yeah,
it's
look,
gutsy to do.
It was gutsy, dog. And that's the sort of coach I am. Gutsy. Yeah, you another are. Guy is, I don't know if you guys still got him, Koch.
Oh, yeah. He was my VC, so that was basically my captain at the end of the day.
Can I give you an interesting stat on Koch? This is very amazing. Koch has played at the MCG. He plays there this week.
Mm.
Twice this year for a score of 70 and 79.
Yeah, right.
When he's played away from the MCG in three games, averaged 127.
Not the kind of stat I want to hear.
There you go.
Just on Koch, though, like Warndog, he didn't leave me enough time to talk about it, but I actually did the same thing with the old... What's it called? The roll back button, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, cheered Koch on as my vice captain. I was going loopholing him.
Yep.
Sat on the toilet, checked my scores.
Oops.
Uh-oh. Beamer VC. Ah, yeah, so I got
tip to young players. So, even the experts.
Yeah. Oh, look, and so as Warnie would say, I didn't dot my T and cross my eyes.
Yep. And what about this bloke? Hooker. Who the hell is Hooker, dog?
He's an absolute gun for Essendon. He's been good. I tell you what, he's actually one of the highest averaging defenders of the year.
You know, he'd be averaging over 10 marks a game. He's obviously switching play back there.
Is he going to crash and burn?
Possibly, like all the Bombers will after about round 10, which normally happens. But no, I think Bombers, the way that they're playing at the moment,
it's high possession, high mark, isn't it?
Like, it's probably... I'm almost thinking it's too late to get on these guys now because they will probably take a little step backwards.
They are the real deal, are they? They're sitting inside the top eight and stuff, aren't they?
They will be again shortly after. Yeah, right. Geez, that sucked on Saturday night. That wasn't a real
Now, with the good comes some bad.
Yeah, some like Essendon.
Kane Cornstalk, 72 points.
Oh, geez, that was a good selection.
Yeah.
Geez, I traded him in this week. I thought that was a good idea. It was either him.
Oh, God, I hate this stuff.
Look, and another couple
of other
guys
as well.
Why do you bring it up?
Look, some guys
might have... He should have been your -3. Yeah. Oh, Ellis got injured.
Bloody Ebert. In the same game, see, it was Ebert or Corns, and I went with Corns because people were going, oh, he'll be safer. Safer for, what, 70? It was pathetic. It was a terrible game.
Why did you go such an old man compared to someone in their prime?
Yeah, I know. I was looking back and, oh, no. Play on.
And look, another guy, of course, with all our ruck issues in the past, some people might have jumped on McAvoy for 52 only to be put in the sub vest. And Suckling, after such a promising start in the game.
He was on fire. He looked like on track for 100.
Another 100 like he did the week before. 60.
Yeah, he had about 10 points in the second half. Now, boys, as someone sitting back enjoying that a couple of players that you two had for once going bad that I didn't have, I couldn't help but think the Selwood brothers, there was something going on. Did their family dog pass away or something horrific like that? Because they were hopeless, the pair of them.
It wasn't nice. Your -3 was bloody Scooter Selwood.
Yeah.
I had Joel Selwood, who was just hating life on Easter Monday.
He was, wasn't he?
Old Langford, he's a good tagger. Is he going to make your little tagger list of people to watch out for?
No. No, he's not. Won't. He's not that good of a tagger.
I thought those days were past Joel.
Joel's skirt was over his head.
It was, wasn't it?
It was. That's what it looked like.
58 points and too many Easter chocolates.
Yep.
That flattered him. That was the thing. I thought it was going to be a sub-50 score, and I was just going, wasn't good. That wasn't even...
Tell you what, he's on this game radar now, too.
Ah, yes.
Oh, these fallen premiums.
With 2 weeks to go, we've got three more trade periods left. We've got to start looking at this buy. The buy's coming up. What are we going to do, and how are we trying to structure our teams heading into it?
Well, I think to start with, if you've got the fantasy coach, you can click on and see where your players are sitting for their buys with a nice little visual way to look at it.
Mm.
But I think you just need to count up and see how you're looking. In an ideal world, I think what a lot of us would think about is to be picking up, making sure that we had more buy players in the later rounds. So
definitely.
Round 10 buy.
Yep.
Because what the simple... strategy is basically is each week of the buys, especially for ahead of round 9 and ahead of round 10, is to trade out people that have got the buy and getting guys that are coming off their buy. Like, that's just simple.
Of course.
Now, I think for me, I'm in a world of trouble, to be honest. Like, I've got a terrible buy structure at the moment, and that is I've got 12 players out in round 8.
Yep.
I've only got 6 players out in round nine. And then I've got 12 players out in round...
Okay, I'll put the kettle on. How are you going to get out of this?
Right, so you've got... So you go 12, 6, 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is awful.
Which is not good.
Like, in a perfect world, if it worked, and we'll get to this in a sec, but 8, 10, 12 would be a great way to go about it.
That would be perfect.
That would be really good. But the problem is the round 8 buys, Calvin.
Look, in the round 8 buy... Look at the midfield alone. You have got people that are missing, like Swan, Pendlebury, Beams, Gary Ablett, Cotchin, Joel Selwood, Stevie J. Are probably...
It's loaded.
The best. Look, there's also a positive in that. The positive is, in round 9 and 10, that's when you're going to be grabbing these bikes. You know, if you don't have Stevie J, grab him in round 9.
Yeah.
You know, grab him in round 9. He's just had his bike. Your team's going to look better. So, look, you've got to get yourself ready and you've got to get yourself prepared to head into it.
Yeah, I'm reasonably well set because my team's not very good, so I don't have many of those midfielders from that buy round. Good. That was strategic by me.
Well done.
However, it hasn't really paid off, but at least I will be able to pick those guys now after they've had their buy.
Now, the other thing to think about is that with those players that you've got out in those weeks, you've got to think about then you've got people playing for them. And most of those will be coming off the bench. So when I've got my huge, hideous round 8 buys, all my guns are all out, then I'm going to be relying on the likes of Will Langford, Alexis Georgiou, Langdon. I've got, Derek's will be playing, Gary Rowan if he's back in. Those sorts of guys.
You can't actually count them as players.
No, and that's a tough thing. Like, so, yeah, it's going to be really hard. So I'm thinking ahead of round 8, I'm going to have to dump some of those round 8 players. I might have to lose Gary Ablett for a week.
Yeah, you might.
What?
Well, he's going to have to. You've got to get points from somewhere.
I've got to, and I'll have to get in the big guns. So I'm hoping what we might be able to do is find some of those sort of fallen premium type guys that might have a great fixture for that one week.
Oh, Scott Selwood.
Well, he might. I might get him. Gary Rowell might be a straight swap for him. I might be able to go and, you know, get a guy that's looking like that, who's got a low break even for that week, a good fixture. I can make some money out of that trade and know that I can definitely get Gary Ablett back in. So that's a real worry, I suppose, how you do that. But
do you know what the biggest worry is?
That I've got 12.
No, it's worse than that. If you get pretty with stuff like that, once you get Ablett out, though there's money there and it sounds easy to get him back in, it is never easy.
Well, look, and this is...
Injuries.
Oh, no.
Injuries.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Imagine if you cop a couple of injuries.
So maybe I'm better off just bloody taking a massive hit for that round.
Maybe.
Yeah,
and that might be up your whole team.
The best strategy for it. Because
it could be.
This goes... Now, sorry, we probably should have mentioned that the rules are the same as last year. That is, best 18 players play. So I've got those 12 players out. So I would be right. I've got 18, but they're all... Half of them are...
So in that round 8, your team would probably score, what, about 450?
Probably if
I'm lucky. But you'll come back and make up for it.
Yeah, but then you've got other people, smarter people than me, that are actually trading around and making their team better over those buy rounds, which is something I did last year and did quite well. But this year, I didn't think about it enough,
Look, and this is the big question that everyone's asking themselves this week. Is this the week we bring in Dane Swan? Because everyone was like, oh, look, I'm going to wait till round 9.
Yep.
But, geez, that's a couple of weeks away, and he's got a couple of 150s left in him.
He does.
Well, that's right. He might be back to his full price again.
Yeah, so, look, for me, I'm happy to take a few points off him here. And look, it's not going to be the best structure for me heading into it, but, as you know, I've got to get rid of Scott Selwood.
It might make up for it, though. Those couple of games that we've got that we've got left in him,
spot on.
You might if he gets those 150s, that's going to be better than me choosing a bloody spud like Kane Corns because he's going to score 100 points more than him in these 2 weeks. But I got Corns. Oh, Corns is going to be great
he's
got a buy structure that bloody suits the Wanderers.
He's going to suck this week, but he's a good player. He'll be right. However, probably shouldn't have picked him as a buy strategy over Swanee, though. Something.
No, like I could have done... Oh, God, I hate this game.
No. Have you got some Twitter questions there for us, Warren?
Got a fair few questions here over the Twitter and the Facebook, actually. So make sure you're giving us a follow there on Twitter, at AFL Fantasy, and also look up AFL Fantasy on Facebook. And the question, the first one here comes from a couple of people. They want to know about Jared Ruffhead. Alan and Adam both want to know. Ruffhead out. I think they're due for him to go. Do you think we give him another chance, or do we get rid of him? He's worth about 409 grand at the moment. What do you reckon?
Cheap as chips.
Yeah, isn't he?
But he's got to go. He hasn't done enough. Look, a couple of options. One, you could go my boy for solo. Still a fair bit of...
Make a bit of cash there.
You've got one though, Roy.
Well, there's a couple of boys that have actually had their bad start to the season, but they look like they are turning it round. Travis Cloke, his break-even's only 65. You can get him for under 350 now.
That's cheap.
It is. He scored 111 on the weekend, and he looked back to, you know, Cloke of old.
Yeah, he did. All right, now Harry's got a couple of questions for us. His first one, he wants to get rid of Tyson, and with that, he wants to either get Fife, Rockcliffe, Selwood, and that is Joel Selwood, or Dane Swan.
Glad you clarified that one.
Who do you recommend that he gets in there?
For his price alone, it's got to be Swanee.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
Swanee's break-even is 84 this week. He's 537 grand. You will not buy a pig any cheaper than that ever again. No.
I also like Rockcliffe there. He may work better for most teams' buys than Swanee.
Roy.
So that's definitely worth considering.
Too, Rocky.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're not getting a bad player.
All right, now, Harry's other question is there, and this is probably a common one for a lot of people, who does he field, Griffiths or Langdon?
You got to go Griff.
You do, don't you?
Griff's been... Look, he had 80
much
last
week. Much more capable.
And look, yeah, he plays GWS this week, so you've got to be...
He's only had one bad game, Griff, and it was that. It was a horrible one. Yep. It was 40, but the rest of the time, he's basically
and
a safe 70.
And that was in the wet.
So as long as it doesn't rain, I reckon he's the man there. All right, next time. This is one, another one looking at Dom Tyson. So Tom, he wants to know, if Dom Tyson has reached his peak, is it time to cash in on him?
Well, according to Paul Ruse, yes, he's probably reached his peak and it's time to get rid of him. But I don't know. Dom Tyson, once again, talking about the buyers, he sits very well for me.
I'll be able to basically
have the choice of all the premiums once it's time for me to offload him. According to break even, that's 78. That would probably suggest that it is about time to go.
Yeah.
If you've got that luxury upgrade, you could do now.
But yeah, holding him for two more weeks. Mm. He has a few more weeks. Yeah. He's got the round 10 by.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got your pick.
Yeah.
That could be your pendulum.
If he can hold on and not drop too much cash,
yeah.
I reckon that would be the thing. And at 78, that's probably about what he's generally capable of doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I reckon, yeah, it's a tough one. I think for a downgrade, as long as it's going to look all right for your buy structure, that's what I'm thinking. But if it's an upgrade, I think go for it. Upgrades are good things, and that's what he's there
for. They are.
You want to
get in Kane Corns or something.
Oh, yeah. God, don't start on that. All right, let's head to... So that was some Facebook questions. Let's have a look on Twitter. And Glavy, he wants to know, is it time to get the pig?
Yeah.
Alex Banks, he wants to know, is it time to bring back the pig? Brian Sharp, is it time to jump on the Dane Swan train? Dave, he wants to know, is it worth trading Swan? Oh, God, they all want...
I can speak pig. He said, yes, get me in.
Yeah, I reckon.
Now, Dave does say, though, and this sort of goes back to what you said there before, Roy, is it worth getting Swanee instead of Rocky? But Swanee is 60 grand cheaper than Rocky at the moment.
That price... That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
How often do you fall short a couple of $100, a couple of $1,000 of someone? That 60 grand is significant.
It is huge. And I guess the thing is, the big question there is the round 8 buys. That's a tough one.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, 60 grand is a lot of cash. All right, next one here. Matt Crouch, rising star winner of this week.
In three quarters.
Jeez, that was pretty good. So any news on his annoying injury, apparently, that stopped him from dominating last quarter of football? Now, all I've sort of heard, I sort of saw him, he didn't look great at the end of that third quarter, and that's probably a precautionary sub. Not on their injury list that was updated, though, so that's a good sign, I suppose.
So it was probably cramps or something like that. He had enough of the ball for it to be a cramp.
He was. 28 touches,
he's,
I think he had.
He's a jet.
It's a, 110
hopefully he's
points.
All right. Yeah.
I think he should be fine. Probably the least of our worries at the minute. Now, we got Big Cox. He wants to know, I'm looking at to straight swap Shields for Griffin. Is this a good move? They both share the same buy.
You would like a tack dog.
Well, I'm considering him at the moment. He's actually in my trade plans at the minute.
There is no chance a tack dog will be in Warndog's
could
team.
Could you imagine?
On the weekend.
Team Warndog, Kane Corns and Griffin.
Oh God, it's going to be hideous.
You can't do that.
Rise and fall.
I say, yeah, don't do it. No. All right, and the last one here. We're looking at some fallen premium boys from Jimmy the Cat. He wants to know which fallen premium should we have our eyes on at the moment. Griffin, Cloak, or, you know, Swanee, as we're talking about.
Buddy Franklin's got to be in that mix.
Buddy's back, isn't he?
He looks heaps better
now. He's had a couple of tons in a row, I think. So
he's very underpriced.
Scott Selwood's pretty cheap.
Yeah, he's not moving in the right direction, though, so we don't quite have a look at him.
All right, boys, wrapping up here. We are looking at Anzac Day, which is coming up, which gives us a partial lockout for AFL Fantasy. So some things to really think about for that is that the Essendon-Collingwood game is the first one. That starts at 2:40 Eastern. And then, you know, you've got your Essendon-Collingwood players are locked in at that time.
Right. Yeah.
So you can't move them. Then at 5:45 Eastern is the game over in New Zealand, and that is the St Kilda-Brisbane game. They'll be locked at that stage.
Yep.
The partial lockout keeps continuing until that third game on the Friday, and that is the Fremantle-North Melbourne game. Now, that's 8:40 Eastern time, so make sure you work out all those times for wherever you are in this wide, wild world. And with those, just make sure that you're all set with that. Some things to remember, though, and this is a little bit of a community service announcement, apart from that bloody roll back your team button and making sure that you dot your I's and cross your T's. Got to remember that, Tom. Now, doing that, but the thing is, if you make a double trade that includes a player that is then locked out, you can't reverse those ones.
Yeah,
So my advice is, unless you need to do that trade that involves, you know, getting cash out of that trade to be able to do something else or that's going to cost you more or whatever, you need to just do the one trade that you need to. Just hold it there until you need to make it, but make sure you make it before that 8:40 game starts on that Friday night. That's Eastern time. So,
that's actually really good advice.
Very handy. Yeah. Well, it is, and I'm going to make sure that I've got the right emergencies clicked. I'm going to put the right players on the ground and all that. So let's have a look at our trades. Calvin, you kick us off with what you're thinking at this stage.
Well, Selwood's gone as I've slammed him enough, and will definitely be coming in. I should have enough cash.
That will look, your team will look so much better with that.
Oh, wouldn't it? It's an extra 100 points a week.
It is.
That's, I still think he's going to be your -3 next week. I've got Selwood because I don't reckon you're going to be able to get rid of him. Some sort of carnage is going to happen this week
that you won't be able to get rid of him.
Tell me your trades, Roy.
Well, I told the boys I'm going to look after them this week if they get back on track, and they did with a very respectable score. So I am getting Caddy and Ellis out, and I'm using a bit of dual position trading to get the boys a hooker for the week.
You said you were. You had a really funny one at the end of the episode.
Right? So yeah, he will no doubt strengthen the back line.
Oh,
excellent.
God, my trades are going to sound boring now because of that. No, I'm going to get rid of Dom Tyson and X Ellis, and it's going to be a simple downgrade and an upgrade. I'm going to go the downgrade down to Nick Robertson. I like him from Brisbane. He's played two games, avoided the vest in both of those, a 50 and a 72. That's good enough for me for job security with that. And my upgrade's going to be to Ryan Griffin.
It won't happen.
No, it won't.
It is at this stage. He averaged well last year. He's been all right. He's been on the rise.
You don't have to convince me. I know Attack Dog used to be a good player, but he's returning from injury. You will not have him.
But he's had plenty of weeks to return from injury. He came back. He had 100 this week, didn't he?
I hope Calvin has 80. Carnage, so he has to keep Selwood. I hope you don't have Carnage, so you get Griffin.
All right, thanks for listening. Just to summarise it, I'm getting the pig, Roy's getting a hooker, and Warnie's getting an attack dog.